Welcome to CanTalk 2.0, a podcast by the Goethe Institute Cyprus on the occasion of 300 years since the birth of Immanuel Kant. I am Dr. Christos Hadjioannou, academic philosopher and the host of this podcast. And in the company of Hambis Damianou, stand-up comedian.
Hello, everyone.
We will be looking at Kant's work in today's context. Kant's work is considered to be the pinnacle of the philosophy of the Enlightenment. In each episode, we are joined by international guest experts on Kant to ask them what Kant would think about specific situations and examples from today, from artificial intelligence to lying on dating apps. What is it like to look at his ideas from almost 300 years ago through the lens of today? Can we still learn from him? Is he still relevant? In today's episode, Can a Scientist Believe in God? We will be talking about Kant's position on religion, given the fact that he was a philosopher of the Enlightenment, which was an era that emphasized the power of reason and science. So, Hambis, you were telling me about an incident that happened to you the other day, which made you think about the relationship between science and religion.
Yes. So my brother may have a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, but sometimes I want to give him an IQ test. A few days ago, he was dancing in the bathroom after having a shower, and he managed to slip and injure his arm. We had to take him to the hospital. Entering the hospital, the emergency department, and my brother went for an X-ray, and I stayed outside because I didn't have a mask. Then I noticed that there were some religious icons inside the hospital. As a comedian, I asked myself, should the hospital wait for God's help in order to save people? Aren't they meant to rely on science? Shouldn't science be what they believe in? The best answer I could think of was, if you are saving people daily, you'll need any help you can get. On a serious note now, this story made me have some philosophical questions about religion and science, such as, can a scientist be religious? Can my brother's doctor, for example, believe in God? Didn't humanity go through the Enlightenment, which established science as the sole source of knowledge and human's best bet when it comes to, say, medicine and surgery and human issues?
Yeah, great question, Hambis. I also often encounter scientists who are religious. And sometimes they indeed seem to have their religion somehow coexist in their scientific practice. And it does make me wonder whether they prioritize one over the other and in which way. As regards Kant's position on this, I think we need to firstly clarify his position on science. So Kant was a philosopher of the Enlightenment. And when we think about the Enlightenment, we think about great political ideals and political revolutions.
Such as the French Revolution?
Yeah, that's right, correct.
Yes.
but we also think about amazing scientific discoveries and breakthroughs. The Enlightenment was an intellectual period that had its origins in the tremendous scientific progress due to the scientific revolution that took place in the 16th and 17th centuries, specifically on Francis Bacon's scientific revolution, in which he conceived the new science as founded on empirical observation and experimentation and on the method of induction. But the Enlightenment went beyond these scientific discoveries. The Enlightenment was also about the expectations that scientific discoveries created with respect to the improvement of human life. So it was also about the great promise and the tremendous intellectual optimism that these scientific discoveries brought about. And this is the age in which Kant writes. It is therefore only natural to wonder about Kant's own position on science and whether it was important in his own philosophical system. Now, I asked Dr. Krista Thomason, who is a Kant specialist and is an associate professor of philosophy at Swarthmore College in the United States, about this. And this is what she told me.
So I think the answer to that question is yes, Kant did think that science was important. But I want to clarify that I think Kant has a nuanced position about science. I think that he is interested in the way that the different scientific disciplines can expand our knowledge. He was deeply influenced, I think, by the empiricists during his time period. And they were, you know, I think, very interested in what was then called kind of the new science, experimental science. I think Kant saw a lot of promise in those things. But I think he also wanted to be realistic about what science could and couldn't accomplish. So I think he gets worried that some of the folks who are extremely optimistic about things like the new experimental science think that, you know, if we just do enough science, we'll sort of learn everything we could possibly want to know about the world. And I think Kant is pretty clear that we need to be upfront with ourselves about whether or not science is going to unlock all of the mysteries of the universe, or whether or not, you know, it's a tool, it's a really wonderful thing that's going to be able to expand our knowledge of the world, but we should be mindful of the fact that it's not going to give us possibly every single answer that we could ever want about every mystery of the universe.
So from what I understood from Professor Thomason's answer, Kant did not believe that science holds the key to unlock all the mysteries in the universe, and that he had a rather modest view in what sort of accomplishment science can achieve with respect to knowledge. Doesn't this go against the general spirit of the Enlightenment? I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit confusing. And this is partly due to the very nature and critical character of Kant's project. It can be summed up in one sentence thus, that Kant saved reason, the inductive reasoning of the empirical sciences, by limiting its scope. Let me explain what happened. So the Enlightenment is indeed the age in which experimental natural science matures. As I mentioned before, the method of induction becomes the foundation upon which the natural sciences rely and thrive. The method of induction involves various methods of reasoning in which, from a number of empirical observations, one is able to derive general principles about the observed phenomenon. So in other words, from observation, one derives the laws of physics. But one specific philosopher, a British empiricist called David Hume, who lived between 1711 to 1776, challenged the power of empirical knowledge, the power of inductive reasoning, as a source of knowledge. And specifically, he challenged its power to prove the existence of the law of causality. Now, Kant was greatly affected by this challenge that Hume posed to the empirical sciences. Kant undertook the task of defending the power of inductive reasoning to derive and prove such laws of nature. However, in trying to do this, Kant both defended the crucial role of reason as a source of knowledge, but he also drew limits to the scope of its powers. Thus, for Kant, causality is something that is indeed a law derived from experience. It is a necessary structure in nature, which we derive through empirical knowledge, but it is not found in reality itself. It is rather a structure of subjective experience. Thus, what we can learn from reason and from science is limited to the subjective side of things.
So this means that science cannot know anything about supersensible objects or being such as God. So if the sciences cannot know anything about God, then does that mean that, according to Kant, a scientist can rely on science for knowledge of nature, but turn to religion for question about the existence of God? Does that mean that for Kant, a scientist can indeed be religious?
I've asked Professor Thomason about this, and this was her answer.
So it's interesting because I don't think Kant's way of sort of carving up the world, you know, in his life in the 18th century, I think matches the concerns that I think we have in our contemporary day and age, right? I think we tend to set up this kind of conflict between science and religion, but I think we set these conflicts up because they sort of represent two very different kinds of worldviews, and we think that those two worldviews are incompatible. I think Kant and his 18th century contemporaries didn't quite draw the lines as clearly as we draw the lines. So insofar as, you know, a scientist is a person and a thinker in the world, just like the rest of us, no doubt the scientist will probably grapple with questions about religion in the same way the rest of us will. So I think Kant would say, you know, our questions about the role of religion in our lives, that question is something that is raised for all of us as people in the world who are trying to do the right thing and trying to understand the world. I think we'll all sort of, questions about God are sort of a natural curiosity, I think Kant thinks, for people. And insofar as, you know, we all have sort of a natural curiosity, you know, scientists are going to have that too, in the same way that just any other human would have that. I think that this notion of sort of a worldview being built kind of around science and a worldview being built around religion, I do think Kant was sensitive to those kinds of concerns. You know, I think he worries about them both for different reasons, right? And I think part of the issue is Kant doesn't think we should sort of build our worldviews around any one thing, and assume that sort of like one, you know, one thing like God or religious commitments or science or its pursuit and its values and its goals, that sort of any one thing should be the thing that organizes all of our beliefs. I think he thinks that our beliefs need to be a bit more flexible and a bit more capacious than just kind of circulating around one big worldview. I think that's the thing that he's most concerned about, and less concerned, I think, about the conflicts between the two.
So for Kant, a scientist can indeed also be religious, because it's not about building our worldviews around either science or religion, because neither can organize all of our beliefs. There is no such thing as one absolute worldview for Kant. Though, of course, one could argue that science is not a worldview, but a method of knowing. But then again, when the question is posed in terms of choosing science over religion, some people do come to think of science as a worldview.
It's interesting that Professor Thomason argued that humans, including scientists, have a natural curiosity about questions about the existence of God, and that these don't necessarily conflict with their scientific duties.
Yeah, and not just about the existence of God, but also about other issues and topics that science, especially the science at Kant's time, had a difficulty addressing, like the issue of freedom and autonomy, and about morality and the existence of a soul.
What do you mean?
I'm referring to the way the empirical sciences yield an uncanny result with respect to human nature itself. The success of the empirical sciences poses crucial issues with respect to our own nature. Early in the Enlightenment, Isaac Newton subsumes nature under universal laws of motion. This means that nature is a machine whose movement is fully explained by deterministic mechanical laws. So, if we follow this approach, then human beings, who are also bodies in nature, are also determined by these laws, like machines. And thus, this means that humans are not free. And hence, it's impossible for us humans to be moral agents. And we also don't occupy any privileged position in the order of nature.
So this is something that we can get from religion, according to Kant? I mean, religion is about the Ten Commandments and about moral rules, and also about us humans being in the epicenter of the cosmos because God made us. Now, I wonder if Kant believed in science about the laws of nature and was also religious about freedom and morality. Was Kant religious?
I don't know, actually. I conveyed your questions to Professor Thomason, and this is what she had to say.
So this is a notoriously difficult topic in Kant scholarship, exactly what his religious views were. And we may want to separate those out into, what were Kant's own personal religious commitments. We want to separate that question out from, what were the sorts of things that Kant wrote about religion. So, of course, Kant scholars know that Kant did indeed write a lot of things about religion. He has a lot of really complex and interesting views. The thing that I'm going to focus on mostly is just the relationship between morality and religion. So what Kant is, I think, at pains to say throughout his career is that we cannot base moral commitments on religious commitments, or maybe a better way of saying that is that our moral commitments don't derive from our religious commitments. So it isn't as though we have to turn to religion to figure out what our moral commitments are. Our moral commitments are things that are given to us, according to Kant, by the moral law, which is something that we figure out through the use of our reason, and that it's consistent with our human freedom. So these aren't things that are come from a set of religious doctrines or from some kind of religious dogma. We ought not look to religion to give us all of the answers to the moral questions that we seek, even if we still think that religious beliefs and religious commitments might play some kind of role in our moral lives, which it seems to be Kant, I think, is open to that sort of question. But I think he wants to make it clear that we're not going to derive our religious, our moral commitments from our religious commitments.
Okay, taking into consideration that my brother's arm healed well and my brother's doctor did a great job, in this case, religious doctors wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
But please, if you get injured, don't pray, just go to the doctor.
I am Dr. Christos Hadjioannou.
And I am Hambis Damianou.
Thank you for listening to Kant Talk 2.0 and for joining us as we try to answer the question, what would Kant say about science and religion? Join us for our next and final episode titled, Should My Cat Have Rights? Where we'll explore Kant's position on animals.